Most of you know that I was raised in denominational churches that didn't say much about tithes and offerings in fear of offending someone. Growing up in college, I never understood that, because why wouldn't God want me to be blessed? I mean, I had a paying job that tested pipe in the oil field. That was a dirty job. We would bring that old pipe they put in the ground, and we would make sure it didn't have any holes or bad places, and we would put water through it and then pressure it up. And if it had a bad place, boy, it would spew that old rust water everywhere. And, man, we would be dirty. The Lord blessed me, because just a week or two into it, the boss allowed me to be the one testing and pressuring up the water. So I was in a little cab, and I couldn't get all wet. So there were times when I was the way I believe God created me, a little bit mischief, and I would pressure it up a little bit more than normal. And I love to see my brother and my college roommates just soaked with rusty water. And I had a job. I had a full rodeo scholarship. I had a student loan. I had a Pell Grant. I had a music scholarship. I mean, I'd do whatever it took to make money in college. And, you know, and thank God that I was able to maintain. I was able to go on. But I never understood why I had to have so much. I mean, I worked constantly doing whatever I could do to make some income. I mean, I was constantly working, trying to win those rodeos just to keep going. Until one day, I said, God, why do I have to work so much for this money? Do you want me to even have it? And I started digging in the Bible. And I found out that 2,036 times God talks about finances in some way. And man, I started digging into it. Because see, I was healthy in my body. I'd read the third John that said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So you got your, you know, finances, and you have your health, and then you have your mind, will, and emotions, your soul. And I just never understood it, because our preachers back then was scared to say anything about tithing and anything about money, although it seemed like they would have 14 offerings. I never understood that. Okay, if we're not going to talk about finances, why are we having so many offerings? You know, we need the youth department to have one. We need, you know, the this and that and building fund. And I started digging into this word. And one of the great scriptures that I came across was found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. The very first verse says, and it shall come to pass. Now that hit me. Did you hear what I said? But I was just saying what the word of God said. It shall come to pass. I mean, that means something to you and I as a believer in Jesus Christ and a believer in this Bible. So I kept reading, and I said, what shall come to pass? It has a comma, and it says, if thou shalt hearken diligently, or listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God. Now, who's born again in here? If you're born again, this is us. We're believers in Jesus Christ. So God's saying that if you'll diligently or listen to the voice of the Lord, be watchful to do his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed to the voice of the Lord your God. Now, I can stop right there. I can keep going on, go all the way down about 13 or 14, talks about the blessings of God. Your cattle blessed, your land blessed, so on. Your body, fruit of your body, and all that. The point that the Lord is trying to make is if you get into his system and you just obey, just obedience is a great thing in the kingdom of God, y'all. That's when the blessing of the Lord will come. Here's an example. I mean, God, we're the son of God, the daughter of God, heir of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ. He wants us to succeed. He does not want us to fail. Don't let anybody ever tell you God will humble you and drop you to the ground so you can finally look up. And that is not biblical. The Bible never says that God humbles us. It actually says we're to humble ourselves. Amen. But religion has got a lot of stuff messed up, you know, and God will strike you down so that you can finally look to him for those things. And really what someone is implying by not teaching the Bible correctly is that God's the fault of all the bad things that are happening in your life because he's just trying to get you to look up. So we know that's not biblical. The point that I want you to see today is I sent a Brazilian that is working for me and AJ, our youth pastor, to Arizona on Thursday morning. And I caught a flight on Friday night. I roped in that rodeo yesterday morning, and then I flew home yesterday night, and those boys are coming. I sent them with a truck that is Jamie's truck, and they were supposed to take my truck, but my truck was trying to get a flat tire fixed, and I didn't have time to go get the truck, so I said, let's just take this truck. Well, when I got home with my truck, we backed it up and hooked Jamie's trailer to send London to his grandma and grandpa's to take some horses and do some things and learn a little bit. And when we tried to turn that truck on, it was deader than a doornail. I mean, the battery was no good. I don't know why. It's kind of a newer truck. But you see, what was happening is God was, he was taking care of me. He was doing things like, you know, no, I don't, since you hadn't prayed about it and asked me kind of what was going on, why don't you take this truck? Because it would have not been good for them to get all the way to Arizona with a truck that wouldn't start. Anybody out there? Listen, when you follow the commands of the Lord, really God causes the blessing of God to come into your life. And thank God that they took that truck. I mean, I had to send it down to John Jernigan and get a brand new battery in it. But it wouldn't have been good trying to do that on the road. Trying to have four horses, a big trailer, and two guys trying to fix trucks on the road going to Arizona. You see, if you'll follow the commands of the Lord, the blessing of God will overtake you. That implies with finances. When you give to the Lord the tithe, the offering, the first fruit, or the alms, those four, I'm telling you the principle of God will take effect and God will bless you. Now, there comes a time when you got to listen to him. How do I prosper? But when you start the principle of sowing and reaping, watch God cause you to owe nobody but to love him. Because that's what the word declares. Get out of debt. It starts through the principle of sowing, giving to the Lord, and reaping. Now, I don't take a salary at our church for all the new people. That allows me then to just operate by faith. So I have to live and say, God, thank you, Lord, that you'll meet my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's called faith. That's operating. And I'm a giver. Matter of fact, we're the biggest givers in this church. And you don't see that from most preachers because most preachers barely have enough to get by on. But God has richly blessed our family. And so I want you to start operating by the principles of God and giving with that heart in Jesus' name. Amen. So in that bucket, come give with a big old shout of praise. Amen. Ooh, Jesus is going to be good today.
We have a special.
We got a special. Let's hear it.
Yes,
all right. Sing. Kids are going to sing?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You need some help? You got it? All right. I can't wait. Waiting on you then. Amen. Look at all the boys. They're just like, why am I doing this? And the little girls are like, oh, look at me. Obviously, you understand this is Palm Sunday. This starts the week of the Holy Week in our Christianity, followed by next Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus. That was it? They're done? This is the longest special in the history of specials. They're all like, 1 second, please.
Ooh. passion in my soul. I got peace of joy.
Good job. Way to go, buddy. Man, I can't believe you put those rabbit ears on. That's good. Good job, buddy.
You did good.
Hey, good dancing. Yeah. Yeah. Good job. Way to go, y'all. Okay, you can go. Bye. They're like, I don't want to go. Oh, praise the Lord. God's good, amen? Come on, give him a big round of applause. I tell you what, with a big round of applause, let's do it again. Kids' church is dismissed and the youth group. All the youth group gets to go have some fun. Come on, y'all, clap for them. Thank you, Lord. Hey, if you're a youth from about 13, 12 or 13 on up to high school 18, man, I want you to start getting into youth. And I know sometimes it's like, well, there's just junior high kids, but you know what? You could be a blessing if you just be a leader. Being a high school kid, that's who they look up to. And being a part of a youth group was the funnest time in my life. And so, be a part of that. It's a good thing. And I realize that it's kind of hard for the youth, and because we do activities and people have to drive their kids, you know, a long ways. But I'm here to tell you, man, when they can be real and just learn as you know, from someone their own age. And then the leadership of youth, man. We need it desperately in our schools today. Amen? Amen? And so I want to encourage you. I know a lot of our youth like to stay in here, listen to us preach, but, man, get used to going out with them. Amen? All right. How many brought your Bibles? Let me see all the Bibles. I love seeing the Word of God. I want you to bring it. I usually have declared and say things like I'll never have scriptures up on the board, because what happens is it causes people not to bring their word. And your word is your sword. It's your protection. It's your manual. It's your everything. And when you get used to carrying that word everywhere, then that's what you draw on when you're not at church and you need answers from the Lord. You just go to the Word of God and He'll give you those answers. Last week, I began just a little study, and it's not little, it's really a revelation from God about God having a plan for your life. Everybody look at me. God has a plan for your life, individually. He wants to speak to you. But a lot of people really don't know what the plan of God is in their life. And we kind of had a scripture basis that was found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." And again, when I read the Bible personally, and it says things like that, I stop for just a minute to meditate on what is it saying. Why would God, because all the word is inspired by Him. Understand that. I know some people go, well, men wrote the Bible. Well, no, they wrote it inspired by God. Because God, you have to understand, that's how God operates on the earth. He has to use you. He has to, I mean, God supernaturally does a lot of awesome things. But He doesn't come down and make you do a certain thing a certain way. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the ability. He'll give you the grace to do some things. But He causes us to carry on his work. We have to live by faith. We have to declare his word. We have to, you know, preach this Bible. We have to live by the word of God because we are Christians. But God won't come down and make you live by the word of God. So here, Jeremiah is saying, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord." And then he tells us what he's meaning. Thoughts of peace. And how many of you know we need peace today? But then he declares some things because, again, being raised in denominational churches, it was just told to us a lot of times for whatever reason that, you know, bad things can happen to you and I. And sometimes it's God that's doing them. But here it clears that up. Because I always wondered, well, why would God put me in a car wreck to get my attention? Why would God put me through a sickness and disease to try to help me turn to him and look to him? Well, here it kind of clears it up. Because listen, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." All right, so listen to me. God is good. Say it with me. God is good. Because the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. So God's good. But the devil is bad. John 10:10, he comes not but for to, say it with me all at once, steal, kill, and destroy. God is not the author of stealing and killing and those kind of things, his people. Now, sin has caused that. That messed a lot of people up in the Old Testament. But really, it was backed up by sin. Sin caused Sodom, Gomorrah, and all those kind of things. Sin is what causes bad things to happen. But Jesus died so that we can have, John 10 finishes it, Jesus came that we might have life and more abundant life in Christ Jesus, see. So it clears it up that God simply wants us to have thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Now, we went over to Ephesians, so I want you to turn there, and we're going to kind of go through what is God's plan for my life, because really God has a plan for every one of us. I'm not talking about just putting on the helmet of salvation and having naked bodies to get stolen and killed and destroyed. I'm talking about putting on the full armor of God and knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. That God has a plan for every single believer in him. I don't care if you don't know a lot of scripture. I don't care if you haven't spent a lot of time, you know, talking to the Lord through prayer. Those kind of things are not what moves God. You know what moves God? Faith. Say amen to that. Amen. Simply having faith. Well, what is faith? According to Hebrews, the Bible says now faith. This is chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. In other words, I've got to trust and believe that God is on the throne and that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father because the word of God declares it. Now, I can't see Jesus and I can't see heaven with my physical eye. I have to trust what the word of God literally says about heaven. I have to trust that Jesus, according to John's gospel, has already prepared a place for me. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. But while we live here and we're operating by faith, we still have, what's a good word, Holy Ghost? A job. We still have a job to declare who we are in Christ Jesus. We have a job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the world. That's our job. Now, when you read up above in Ephesians, and it talks about the pastor and the evangelist and the prophet and the, you know, though all the fivefold, it's trying to get the saints to do the work of the ministry. It's trying to get you guys to go out and be led by the Spirit of God so that when you encounter someone that is in desperate need of something, then the Spirit of God will tell you that he just needs to be built up. Stop tearing him down. She needs someone to just say, hey, you are beautiful in the sight of the Lord, and don't let any devil in hell tell you you're any different than that. Amen. You know what I mean? Someone's saying, hey, you, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28, are the head and not the tail. Because do you know what comes out of the tail? It's not good stuff. It gets you in trouble if you say it. But I'm here to tell you, when we live by the kingdom of God, we can begin to declare, oh, I'm the head, not the tail. Now, the devil, on the other hand, is going to tell you you're no good. He's going to tell you, oh, you know, God, he's not going to bless you because of all the bad things you did back when. He's going to try to convince you that you are not above, but you're actually underneath. You are not worthy. And if you listen to that lie from the pit of hell, that's what you'll begin to meditate on. Well, I was born on the wrong side of the track. I was born just a little bit too late. I'll never forget a guy that used to come here, used to say that all the time. He always felt like he was born just a little bit behind. Everybody else is being blessed right here, and he was almost there. But he was just, man, if he could have just been born a little bit sooner, you see. Well, right there we knew that the enemy was just trying to destroy him. He's trying to get him to meditate on all the, you know, things that wasn't the greatest in his life. All the flaws and those kind of things. Well, when you find out that God's actually got a plan for you, it'll change your perspective of him. You'll begin to start looking at God in a different way. You'll start saying things like I said this morning, God, if you want to interrupt me during this service, you do it. You can interrupt me anytime. If we want to see the manifestations of someone being healed by the stripes, the beating of Jesus Christ, I said, sir, you just do whatever you want to this morning. Because you, sir, are the one that I am operating under. I am operating under Jesus Christ, the anointed one. And so I have to be led by a spirit. And there's times when I'll look at someone and the Spirit of God will just leap and say, man, build them up. Let's start speaking life into them. Because even though this is church and we're all supposed to be happy, people come in here with a lot of things going on in their life because we live in a world. But we got to start learning that we don't have to live of the world. So what is God's plan for your life? Have you ever thought about that? What if it's his plan for you? And then it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Man, you can find out what God's plan is for you right now. It might be on your job that God needs you to be speaking life and the blessing of God just to people you encounter. Because I don't see that a lot nowadays. Oh, you see it in Texas. You know, when you drive down the road, you still see people wave at you. Anybody from New York in here? I'm telling you, I went and preached in New York. Being an old Texas kid, I would walk by them. How you doing? I'm telling you, I almost got killed. just from saying hello. Who are you? They're just not used to that Texas hospitality, I guess, because that's just who I am. I have the joy of the Lord. How's it going, brother? What do you want from me? And finally, after walking by dozens and dozens and dozens of people, and by the way, this was at a rodeo in New York. I mean, there was a lot of people there. And I got so tired of walking by people, I finally started doing the most drastic things to get them to talk to me. What's up, dog? I mean, I didn't know. I just tried anything. Yo, hey, you know, one time I tried to be like an Indian. How? When me say how, you say how back. I didn't care. I just wanted them to know that there's the joy of the Lord, and it's abounding because of the love of Jesus Christ that lives on the inside of me. That might have been my plan for the weekend. About six people got saved. It was a tough service. I mean, it was like, wow. Here I'm used to, you know, down south, the Bible Belt. I'm used to, you know, the ground has been tilled a lot. And it's easy to say, hey, we're going to do a church service on Saturday after slack at a college rodeo. Slack is you know, just they can't fit everybody in a performance. It would last too long, so they call it slack. You come in, and there might be hundreds going during slack, and then that night they have a performance, and only 10 people in each event can go in the performance, try to make it about a two-hour rodeo. But I'll just declare, hey, we're going to do church after slack, college rodeo. There might be 100 people show up. But what's wrong with just maybe God's plan being you speaking blessings and encouragement and edification in someone's life, you see? I don't know what God's plan is for you, but Ephesians chapter 4 really begins to declare what the plan of God is in our life, really, as a whole. And let's start, and I know I spoke some of it last time, but it really starts in verse 22. Now, this is implying, listen to me, this is implying that everybody is born again. If you're not saved and Jesus is not the Lord of your life, you've never confessed him as Lord. That's Romans 10:9. John 14 says he's the only way, truth, and life. The only way to get to the Father in heaven is by him. If you've never made Jesus Christ, not a church, not some preacher, Jesus Christ, if you've never made him your Lord, then you need to. Because he's talking to believers right here. Ready? Verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. The old man was before you gave your life to Jesus. Everybody understand that? Say amen if you do. Amen. It goes on to say, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, because you were in a sin nature. But when you gave your life to Jesus, the blood of Jesus that was sacrificed that covers you now, you're not the deceitful, you're not in that nature of sin any longer. No, you've been translated into the kingdom of light through Jesus Christ, the light. Old things passed away, and behold, all things what? Become new. Okay, they won't become new unless you do what it's saying here, that you, by faith, put on a new man, or that you put off concerning the conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. And then do what? Verse 23. This is the plan of God in someone's life, that if you want to get to that plan, this is what needs to happen into your Christian life, into your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Look what it says. Be renewed by the spirit of your mind. All of us know, and I talked about this last time, that the battle a lot of times is in the mind. The older I get, I'm 48, but the older I get, when I feel a little pain somewhere in this body, you know what the devil tells me now? Uh-oh, cancer, disease. I mean, I didn't have that a few years ago. Being a healthy man, still am, by the way. Someone said, is that a mosquito bite? Shut your mouth. But when I have a little pain, I'm like, what's that pain for? Was it because you ate a chicken fried steak? That's what it's from, son. But see how the enemy battles the mind? And then he brings a bad thought into the mind. And if you meditate on that thought, then you'll be that thought. You'll become it. Well, the word tells us in Joshua not to meditate on a bad thought, but to meditate on the word of God day and night, right? So we've got to take that thought captive. Amen. So when you're being renewed in the spirit of your mind, all that is getting into this word. Getting this word into your mind so that you can be the one who God's called you to be. He doesn't want you meditating on all the junk that's going on in your life. He doesn't want you to meditate on the bad things that might be happening. Maybe the trial, the tribulation that you may be going through. Because if you meditate on it, on all the bad things, that's when you stay in the trial and tribulation. But see, God, brother, he wants you to get on through it. He doesn't say you won't go through trials and tribulations. He's just trying to say, no, you need to get on through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Amen. It's not for us to build a tent in the middle of that trial and tribulation, right? Because that's why we stay in it for so many years. No, he actually wants us to get on through it. If you would just have the joy of the Lord, you can get on through anything, praise God. Why? Because Nehemiah says it's the joy of the Lord that produces strength in our life. And if you don't have joy, you do not have that strength that you really need to get through that battle. You see, God doesn't say, again, that you're not going to go through some things. He's just saying, man, get on through that thing with victory in Christ Jesus. Now, a brother is going through and got some bad reports. And this happens to, my phone rings constantly with things like this. A bad report from a doctor. Okay? Listen to me. When you are mature in the Word of God, and you have the Word of God in your mind, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks it. So what's ever in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. If it's fear, if it's doubt, if it's unbelief, that's what's going to come out first. I mean, it's kind of like if you have a hammer and you're trying to hit a nail and you hit your fingernail, I'm going to know what's in your heart. Because it's going to come out the mouth quickly. Ah! That's when you just hold your tongue. But don't say it. Amen. But when the doctor gives you a bad report, how are you gonna handle that? What are you gonna say? Are you gonna receive that as the truth? Y'all, most everybody knows when I was 24 or 5, I was sick for 7 years. I think I weighed maybe 130, 140 pounds. Skinny. Every time I would eat, my inside would cramp. Now I'm at a strapping 185. Oh, man, it was hurt. It was, pain. And most everybody knows my testimony, but I went to a doctor one night, and they said I had a bug, gave me a little shot. Man, I felt better. And I don't know what it was. I don't remember if it was a steroid. But then the next night, that cramping started again. All of my organs were just cramping. And I couldn't eat anything. I was throwing up over and over, and I just couldn't. Finally, Jamie lived across town. We wasn't married yet, and she came and got me and took me to the hospital for that second time. They did emergency surgery, and when I got out of the surgery, they had taken out 16 inches of intestine, and a little bit of the colon. And when I was waking up, most of y'all know, the doctor declared and said that I had a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it's manageable, he said. Now, that was the first thing that came to the ear. What was going to come out of my mouth? Was I going to just receive that? Oh, okay, I've got Crohn's disease. All right, praise the Lord. It's manageable. At least I won't die. But you know what I said? I said, I don't receive that. That's what I said to the doctor. I had 3 years of junior college, y'all. And I'm declaring to a doctor that's got a lot of education that I said, no, sir, I don't receive that. He said, son, do you understand? I know you're coming out of that anesthesia, you're waking up, but you have a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it's manageable. I said, no, sir, I don't receive that. Wheeled me to my room. He came in one time. I had my mom and dad there for agreement. Thank God for agreement. And he said, I don't know if you understood, son, but you have a disease called Crohn's. We can manage it, but you're not going to be able to rope or ride anymore. You're going to have to just manage this. This is just part of your life from now on. And I had tubes down my throat this time, and I said, no, sir. Mm-mm. As best I could say it, I'd shake, mm-mm. And I'm sure he thought I was crazy. I'm sure. I didn't say, no, I don't, in Jesus' name, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, I didn't do any of that. I just didn't receive what some man was saying to me because it was the fact that I had Crohn's disease diagnosed. But it was not the truth. The truth is found in this Word of God. And I had enough Bible in me that I decided to believe the truth more than the fact. And as y'all know, I've never taken a pill ever. I was healed by the stripes of Jesus because I didn't take a hold of that. In my mind, man, I started reading scripture, man. I started saying, the Bible says, for the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I started digging into this word. I found in Mark that it said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I started seeing scriptures like the woman with the issue of blood, how Jesus, just by her touching the hem of his garment, healed in Jesus' name. I read blind Bartimaeus, man. I went to those scriptures. I wasn't going to have a disease control me for the rest of my life. I want the Word of God to control me. And I didn't worry about why it happened or why did I have for 7 years this problem. I didn't care. All I care about is the final result, that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I went to blind Bartimaeus and I read that where he was just yelling, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, remember the disciples, shut up, boy. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is coming. And you know what he did? He got louder. Jesus, have mercy. And that man was healed. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what that means? That if he did it for blind Bartimaeus, and he did it for the woman with the issue of blood, then he has to do it for me. Or he's having favorites. And God doesn't have favorites. He'll heal you just like he did me. So the key is by renewing the spirit of my mind, I know that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And I'm telling you for this, it's been 15 or 16 or 17 years, I do not have Crohn's. You know why? Because by his stripes I was healed. All right. Okay. Now, you won't believe that if it's not renewed by the spirit of your mind. Okay, let's go on real fast. Man, Jesus. It's 11:49. I think it's Levitical law. I've got to be done by 12. And I don't know where it's at, but look at 24. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now listen to me. I'll close here and I'll do it after Easter, whatever. I'll just finish it sometime. When you gave your life to Jesus, you was made righteous. Everybody agree with that? The Bible declares you were made, this is Romans, you were made the righteousness of God. Righteousness is just right standing with God. And true holiness. Okay, here's something that has really messed up the body of Christ. Messed us up, man. And we're going to straighten it out. Well, you have to straighten it out in your life. That you are righteous and you're holy. Why don't we declare that? It's going to be hard for somebody to start saying, I'm righteous and I'm holy. Because we've been programmed in religion that, oh, no, just God is holy. No, wait a minute. He lives on the inside of you. And here, the Bible is trying to get us to be renewed by the spirit of our mind and put on the new man, which after God, that means if Jesus is the Lord of your life, because you can't have true righteousness and holiness without Jesus Christ being Lord of your life, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So in other words, you've got to put on that new man. You've got to declare that. Now, I'm not talking about self-righteousness where I'm better and holier than thou. I'm talking about I am righteous because of what Jesus did in my life. I have right standing with God Almighty. Matter of fact, I can go boldly to the throne of God and talk to him without giving my sins to a priest to go into the Holy of Holies. No, I can go boldly before the throne of God and declare the things of God that I need in my life. You see, that's something to really understand, because then I don't have to be guilty. I don't have to be convicted any longer. I don't have to be, well, I can be convicted by God, but I don't have to be condemned, praise the Lord. I don't have to live down as an unworthy worm like I thought we were supposed to live like. You know, we're supposed to imitate Jesus Christ. No. Jesus Christ has a name that is above every name. Jesus Christ has that name that's above Crohn's. That's why I was healed by his stripes. Jesus Christ has a name above diabetes in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Jesus has a name above depression. Say amen to this, y'all. Amen. Jesus has a name above every sickness and every disease. We just have to get that on the inside of us so that when the devil tries to bring sickness and disease and depression and all the bad things that the devil tries to bring in our life, we can say, no, I'm righteous in Christ Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am someone because I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. And that's what you got to do when the devil begins to attack someone. And when you learn all this, then you begin to start receiving God's plan for your life. His plan for your life is that you put off the old man and put on the new man after God is righteousness and holiness. Now I'm telling you guys, stop living by that excuse of all fall short of the glory of God. Because it's messed up the body of Christ tremendously. You know, we all fall short. You know what you're saying? I'm going to sin. That's all you're saying. Well, I'm not powerful enough to say no to sin. No. You need to read Romans 5, verse 1. That says you're justified by faith. You know what that word justified means? That you're declared righteous, you're acquitted, and you're given a right standing before God. So let's say it. I'm righteous. Let's say it. I am righteous. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm holy. Because Jesus lives on the inside of me. I'm above. I'm not beneath. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm not a lowly worm. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm given a right standing with God. I'm acquitted of all my sin. Sin has no dominion over me. Man, you ought to read Romans 5. It's a good chapter, man. It starts declaring, man, that when that devil tries to attack, devil, you're not going to kill me. I speak life. I speak life over this body in Jesus' name. I speak life, and I rebuke death. And the enemy trying to kill, steal, and destroy is not going to happen in your life. Matter of fact, you die when you want to.
Amen.
104? Mm-hmm. Amen. How long you got?
Long time.
Long time. Amen. You know what went through my mind right now? I just asked her age. I could get killed. But hey, listen, I've always said, if you kill me, raise me from the dead. I got a lot of work to do. Amen.
I don't mind telling you I'm 85.
85?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Well, you look about 25. Amen. Well, that wasn't a lie. It was just, what was that? I was edifying you in a good way. Amen. Knowing that you're not 25, but you look it. Amen. We're renewed by the eagles. Amen. You want to preach? Someone goes, I'm only 10 in dog years. I called him an old dog. Jesus is Lord. Amen. He's Lord. Say it. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus.
Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just your word. Man, I'm not getting very far in it, sir, but it's for a reason. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord, that we have a plan in our life. Father, in Jesus' name, if there's one person watching or that's here in this congregation that does not know you, I ask you, sir, as the word declares, draw their heart to you. Not to a man, not to a woman, not to a church. Draw them to you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. Heads bowed and eyes closed, just in respect of God and your neighbor. Y'all that are watching live on the internet, it's an honor to have you. I mean it. You don't have to watch. I hear from so many of you that text me and you watch from a lot of places across the country. Thank you. But you might be at home and you're hurting. Maybe time has got you so busy that it's hard to come to church. It's hard to spend time with the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning that it's time we not allow all the stuff of the world to get us distracted from who we are in Christ Jesus and the call that's in your life. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to do that by praying a prayer with me. You see, I can't make you give your life to Jesus. All I can do is, if you go over to chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, the Bible says that he sets before us blessing and cursing, life and death. And that's what I want to set before you guys. Life in Christ Jesus, but you also can choose death without him. That's a place called hell when you leave this earth, and it's also a hell on earth without Jesus Christ, because you can't cast any care on him. You have to do everything yourself, and that's why people commit suicide, because they can't handle it. all the trouble and problems in this world. So why don't you just give your life to Jesus and then learn to cast all your cares upon Him? So if you're here this morning or you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to do that right now, please. I beg you. Give your life to Jesus Christ. How am I going to do that, preacher? Well, I'm going to just read, and really, when I'm leading you in the prayer, I'm confessing Romans 10:9. It says that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, born again. So that's what we're going to pray. We're going to ask Jesus Christ to come into our life. If you're in this congregation or if you're watching, I just want you to confess it out loud and say, Jesus, come into my life. If you'll do that, when you die, you'll get to go to a place called heaven. Oh, it's a wonderful place. Please don't choose hell. Choose heaven by receiving Jesus. So simply confess this prayer. All the believers in here, would you pray this prayer as well? Just out of respect, we're going to be praying it with someone, maybe sitting beside us or around us, and we'll just pray it with them. You ready? Again, if you're here, you're watching, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do that right now by praying this prayer. Here we go. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I make you my Lord. And I believe that you've been raised from the dead. And today I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I'm on this earth, I need you. Forgive me of all my sins. I want to learn about you because you're my Lord. I want heaven on earth. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just one time, if you just prayed that prayer, and by the way, if you prayed it by watching, go to our website again and just tell us, hey, I gave my life to Jesus. Tell us that you enjoyed watching us or whatever. But if you're here and you just prayed that prayer, I don't want you to ever be ashamed of that. Confess it before men. The Bible says if you'll do that, Jesus will confess you before the Father. Don't ever, ever, ever be ashamed to let people know you gave your life to Jesus. All I want to do, with no one looking around but me, if you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus and you meant it, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and you're saying, God, I meant that. I gave my life to you. And then just put your hand right back down. That's the public confession that I want you to make. I'm not going to ask you to come down. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to ask you, when I say three, I want you to raise your hand and say, I gave my life to Jesus. You ready? With every bit of boldness. One, two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. We're going to just hand you a Bible. So honored. Just grab that Bible. Thank you so much. Amen. Proud of you guys. Very proud. All right, look at me. We have several give their lives to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now listen. If you got a Bible, inside it is a little card that says, now that I've received Jesus. And it's just a, man, fill that out. Just stick it up here. We don't call you. We don't do any of that. It just gives us a record. It's an honor. The worst thing that you can do when you give your life to Jesus is not know what to do. You know what to do? Start getting into this Bible. Keep coming to church so you can learn about who you are. You don't have to be a cowboy to come here. Really, the reason it's called Cowboy Church is because I am one. But not just that. There's a whole bunch of cowboy churches that the pastor's not a cowboy, by the way. They're just trying to fill that position. But really, we're reaching the Western world. And in the meantime of reaching the Western world, because farmers and ranchers, we were all raised that we don't have a suit and tie, so we're not welcome in suit and tie churches. And that's a lie. This is our suit and tie. Amen? Just go to find a church that just receives you and preaches the Word of God. And I hope it's this one. But you don't have to be a cowboy. We have a lot of city folks that come and honor. I think God is just getting us back to the barn mentality. I mean, just speak the truth. Don't sugarcoat it. We're not here to be seen and be social. A social club only. We're here to fellowship with each other. Amen? If you just gave your life to Jesus, it's time you get into a Bible-believing church where you can learn the Word of God. Amen? And hopefully it's this one. Amen? Did y'all have a good time? Thank you, Lord. All right, real fast before we're dismissed.